This episode of TMS is brought to you by the considerable contributions of you. That's right, you the listener. Go to patreon.com/TMS and find out more. And thanks.
Coming up on TMS, gross, he's swimming in his underwear.
TMS Vegas recap.
Where did you take the tree?
Rats as big as burritos.
Don't save me.
Wasp versus spider.
Making things with barrel.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, kids. Look at some delicious magic with the extra good chocolate-flavored syrup, Bosco. Now watch. Take ice cream, spoon on extra rich, extra thick, extra chocolatey Bosco syrup.
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Mere good. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. The aftermath of Las Vegas, Nevada's TMS Viva Las TMS Vegas TMS. Whatever the hell you call it.
Mm-hmm. Viva TMS Vegas is what
like
I've been
that.
Calling it.
Yeah, for some reason the music stopped. That's fine. We don't care. it's me, Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett over there. Let's get back to it, Brian. Let's get back to our lives.
Yes.
Back to our normal lives, our day-to-day.
That's right.
My voice is still a little hammered. It's
mine too.
Crusty. I have to maybe slightly take it easy this week. Yesterday, if I went high register like this, it would start going away completely and just get all hissy. Yep. So,
Sunday my voice was completely gone. I mean, I saw you briefly on Sunday for a quick cup of tea in the Brightside Cafe. But my voice just steadily got worse and worse, and it's much better now. Yeah. But man, Sunday, destroyed. I think it was talking over the concert.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, because the only way you could have a conversation at that concert was to yell in each other's ears, and that takes a toll, folks. That's just the way that goes. Also, my ears still ring a little bit, just a tiny bit.
That was also probably from the concert. I think the throat thing, the voice thing, was because our mouths sat gaping open while we watched Bob Log the Third.
Yeah, by the way.
And tried to figure that out.
Most brilliant move of the entire event was booking that dude to play. He is amazing. And so we made a point of, you know how in a live setting sometimes you get in distortion and, you know, it's not the same as a well-produced record or whatever. I was very curious, like, since I couldn't catch a lot of the lyrics and stuff like that, given the sort of thing, it's an amazing performance, but I wanted to sort of hear this more. So we listened to his whole latest album on the drive home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's really good. It's like, like I said, it's like, all right, imagine. So it's the back seat of your dad's Thunderbird.
Right.
And a mating has occurred. And the people who have mated.
Like it happens in the back of your dad's Thunderbird.
Right. And the mating that has happened has occurred between Primus, mm-hmm. Mitch Hedberg,
okay, yeah,
Evel Knievel,
right,
Daft Punk,
uh-huh,
and the entire Creedence Clearwater Revival roster, and that is what he is, and he's amazing.
Dirty Southern Blues.
Oh, it is so good. It's so good. Yeah. I loved his stuff. I loved all the bands. Everybody was great, but he was rocking it, man, like nothing I'd ever seen before. So you were not wrong when you tried to describe him and what he did. It was something else. So everybody go out there and seek it out. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. There's a bunch of YouTube stuff. Look up Bob Log the Third. Yeah. That's B-O-B-L-O-G, just like the way I said it. Because in your head, you're going, blah, 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 like, we have to develop a new...
Blah, blah?
Yeah, it's not that. Geez Louise, dude, that guy. Dude. I don't even know what to make of it. Like, it was one of the most unique things I'd ever seen, and I'm actually genuinely shocked that that dude's not just constantly on, like, talk show rotation.
Right, you'd think so, right? Like, you think you could just see him on Kimmel or some musical act, SNL, I could even see him on, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
totally...
He's,
Totally.
Amazing.
Get them on Ellen for, you know, daytime people. That's fine.
Totally. Oh my gosh, the stay-at-home watchers of Ellen would freak out watching that. Like, what the hell am I watching?
They might.
And why isn't he wearing underwear?
Yeah, no, that's the other thing. So he's in this, like, skin-tight little, I don't know what that is.
Silver Daredevil costume outfit.
Kim pointed out it wasn't leather. It was some kind of, I forgot, she had a name for it. There's a specific kind of material that is. And there was absolutely no question in my mind that JoJo was going free ball in that thing. And kind of threw me for a bit of a loop a couple of times. But, man, what a performance. It was amazing. It was really, really cool. I'm going to share with you a story before we do the full recap of how things went. Because it was too funny. And I almost, like, spilled the beans and, like, called you from the road and said, Brian, you got to hear this. Because it was so weird. But we decided that we were in Vegas for a few days there, and we thought, you know what we're going to do? Kim and I are going to extend this by one day. That's why we didn't have a show yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we were going to stay in St. George. We had a good deal on a place, and we thought, and we love it down there. It's beautiful red rock cliffs, and just loved how that place looks. In the summer, it gets really, really hot, but whatever. I like the heat. And the weather was perfect there this last weekend. Just amazing, like 78 and clear and dry and beautiful. And so we're down there, and we kind of been doing some running around, looking at these new houses that just went up, trying to see kind of like, what does this stuff cost out there?
The seed is being planted.
What kind of broadband do they have, you know, because that's important.
You already know they've got the best Taco Bell in the United States.
They did, and we stopped there as well. It was good. But we're looking around just kind of checking it out. And this is where people either it's a very big retirement spot for a lot of people, and it's a college town. So you have a very interesting mix of really old people who are just enjoying their twilights and really young people who are drunk and crazy. So it's this crazy, weird combo. Anyway, and Vegas is an hour outside of it. In other words, if this is a town Brian lived in, we talked about this a bit on the trip, that'd be it.
That'd be it.
Yeah,
exactly.
That'd be it.
Thanks, Tina. Hey, it's been fun.
It's been a good run.
We had a good run there for a long time.
Yeah, well done. Got a kid to show that we got something done. But I'll be going now. So anyway, here's the story. We're there. We're at a Ramada. That's the hotel.
Okay.
And got a killer deal on it. And this is the week before the Ironman Challenge that comes through there.
Oh.
And so it's really dead. This last weekend, nothing going on. Really quiet. In fact, it felt like we were the only people in that hotel. Honestly, it was so nice.
Wow.
I loved it.
Wow.
But it was just a slow weekend. Usually, there's all kinds of weird stuff happening every weekend in that town. But this particular weekend, not much going on. So that was great for us. Next weekend is Ironman thing, majigger, and everybody sold out. All the hotels pre-booked, so we wouldn't have been able to do this next week. We wouldn't be able to get a room. It was that bad. So anyway, we're glad we're there while we're there. And we decided to go out to the pool and read for a while and just kind of chill in the sun. So we go out to the pool. Nice pool. Hot tub, all that. No one there. It's just us. Mm-hmm. And we plop down. And Kim's reading her book. And I'm reading my Kindle. And it's dead quiet because,
I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
Because first off,
yeah,
good on you for hanging out in a hotel hot tub. Because if I were to take a guess on, all right, would Scott go into a hotel hot tub?
Uh-huh.
I might lean towards the no, he probably wouldn't. You know, the pool probably, because they shock the crap out of that. But I guess they use the same chemicals to shock the crap out of the water in a
hotel
hot tub as well.
I'm more likely when there's not 1,000 people in there.
Sure.
But that's got less to do with how gross it is and more to do with, I don't want to be sitting next to Frank, the truck driver, and Larry, the butthole next to me.
Okay, gotcha. So if there were somebody in that hot tub, that might affect it, especially depending on their, you know, Swedish bikini team, probably Scott's hopping in. But
look,
if it's,
their level of exfoliation plays a big factor as to whether I will sit next to them or not.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay.
So if their skin is like sloughing off and they look like they're about to pick a mole or something, into it.
Yeah, well,
but it was, and we didn't actually get into any of the water because none of us, we didn't bring our swimmies, so we weren't in there anyway. But had we had our stuff, I'm sure I would have totally gotten in the hot tub, no problem. So anyway, we're there and we're just on chairs. The pool, no one's in it. It's mm-hmm. dead quiet. You hear birds. It's just quiet and nice. It's in the and the hotel's right up next to a cliff, red cliff. So it's just this really cool look and everything. So we're chilling out, and I'm reading my book, and I kind of get a little sleepy. So I turn the book off, and I just kind of lean back a little bit and close my eyes. And then I hear this. Okay. That's what I hear. Okay. I open my eyes, and a perfectly normal looking Asian man has walked out and is standing with his hands on his hips, fully clothed, okay. hands on his hips, a towel over his shoulder, and he's staring at the pool. So what he has done, yeah, he had come out and said, okay, to the pool. And then I think, oh, all right, well, we got somebody here. He's going to probably get a chair somewhere because he's not wearing a swimsuit either. He's in like slacks right. and a button down. So I kind of close my eyes again. And then I start hearing rustling sounds. And I look back over there and this guy's taking his shirt off. And okay, well, now he's naked from the waist up. Okay. And he takes his pants off. And now he's just wearing his Calvin Klein tighties there.
Okay.
He takes his shoes and his socks off. And he doesn't dive into the pool. He cannonballs into the pool. He goes like, and he made the sound. He went, yep, like that, and jumped into the pool. Kabloosh.
And nobody's with him. He's nope. not talking to anybody. This is just
him. That's it. And Kim and I are silent on the side of the thing, and we're just sort of looking. We're like, okay, great. And Kim goes, I think that's just his underwear. And I said, what? She goes, that's not a swimsuit. He's just swimming in his undies. And then for the next 10 minutes or so, this is the swimming we get. It's length to length, end to end of the pool.
All right, he's doing laps back and forth.
Yes, but all doggy paddle, like all just like barely moving. And this is the sound he's making. Like that.
Oh, awesome. It's like the guy next to you at the gym, too. Like you just attract the grunting cardio people.
Yeah. And then this guy, and then the best part is I'm like, please let this end. I can't, I'm so distracted by this guy. It's impossible for me to, and he's just spitting water out and making grunty noises and all this. He finally gets out of the pool, pulls himself out. His underwear is so sodden with water.
Oh no.
That it's created like a unattached loop.
Yeah, right. I know exactly, like a third butt that's hanging straight down.
Yeah, which means I'm getting a pretty good shot of his undercarriage there, which I'm not interested in at all. I have zero interest in seeing this, but there it is. But to behold, he towels himself off, not very much, just sort of towels himself off, is whistling something I couldn't make out, just kind of this, and then puts his clothes all back on with the underwear still on, puts everything on. It's all sticking to him. So he's got like kind of translucent looking stuck to him shirt now and all that. And then just walks out of there.
Wow.
This is the weirdest thing I ever saw. I don't know if they're on their way to Vegas and he just doesn't know if there was like something wrong with him, or maybe there's something wrong with me and this is normal behavior. The entire thing kind of weirded me out.
No, I think, most places will even have on the sign, like, no lifeguard on duty, appropriate swimwear must be worn, or something like that. There's usually a sign that'll say something along those lines.
Yeah, and he didn't do any of that. And nobody came out and stopped him. And there was one guy working the hotel, I swear. It was so quiet. But, yeah, very odd thing. Oh, and I did I think I saw him later watching the Jazz game in the lobby.
Mm,
and he was just, like, lounging out, like, on the chair, like, all spread out, watching the Jazz game.
Airing out.
Yeah. Drying the last of his pool experience. So, that was a fun way to cap things off. We drove home. We got home. Took Carter to sushi for her birthday. And watched Thor Ragnarok last night because Nick hadn't seen it yet for some who knows why. And tonight they're going to see Avengers and he wanted to be prepared. Perfect. And I feel like that's an important one to see before Avengers.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it leads right in, first of all. It's not a spoiler to say that Infinity War pretty much picks up right where Ragnarok leaves off.
Yeah, purposefully. You can. Even the Stinger is a...
At the end of Ragnarok is
yeah, which actually says, leaves me all kinds of questions, but whatever. We'll talk about those later when 2 weeks have passed. But speaking of which, let's jump around here a little bit. You were actually on Embrace the Spoilers last night. How'd that go?
I was. We actually talked about that very thing on Embrace the Spoilers with Garrett Weinzierpel and Jocelyn Moffat, mm-hmm. soon to be Jocelyn something else. I don't know. I don't know the name of her.
I don't know his last name either.
Fiance.
Jocelyn.
Fiance. I don't know the name of her fiance. But anyway, the two of them were very nice to have me on Embrace the Spoilers. It's up there right now, and we talk about Infinity War, and it's a spoiler show, so we talk about everything about it, but I talk about my feelings of it, and mm-hmm. Garrett talks about his, which are very different
yep.
than mine.
Yeah, he is not known to like the direction the MCU goes.
Well, and it's interesting because we got to the bottom of what his problem with it was, yeah. and it's purely, I think it's a generational thing. I mean, I know it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
It's the fact, and
he likes the prequels, though, so we have to keep this in mind anytime we talk about movies with Garrett. He likes the Star Wars prequels, so that, I'm just saying, not that yes. that should paint your entire opinion of anything he says about movies. I'm just saying it's possible that, you know, it's a little skewed, because who likes right. the prequels?
Right.
Garrett,
yeah, and I'm not
going to
say, I mean, it's I think it's innocuous. I'm not going to say anything because somebody could take it as a spoiler. I don't think it is, but.
Well, I will say this. He's gone on the record to say he thinks Thor Ragnarok's too goofy.
He didn't seem to have a problem with the humor.
That wasn't the aspect that bugged him.
That wasn't the aspect of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'll type it in.
You should.
Type it in chat because you can determine whether or not you feel like it's a. It's a spoiler.
Sure. Which chat are you putting this in? I just realized.
Well, I'm putting it in Skype chat, so you'll see it over my face in Skype.
All right, hold on. Chat room, I'm going to hide this so you can't see it for a second.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's all right. Oh, he didn't like that, huh?
He doesn't like that.
Huh.
And it's...
Why?
I think it's a generational thing, but...
Interesting.
You know, we shouldn't be doing this. I'm like, you know, it's like this little secret we've got here between us.
Well, we're trying hard not to spoil. It's fine.
Go listen to, if you've seen the movie, go listen to Embrace the Spoilers and you'll hear why,
yeah.
what his issue with it was.
My favorite, I really love the movie, I'll say that. And I'm going to see it again with the kids tonight and I can't wait because it's the kind of movie you want to see more than once.
I know, I want to see it again. Can I come fly out there and join you?
Let's go. Get over here. But that's funny you say that because that's actually one of my favorite things about it is we got to all see this together in this really rad movie theater. Mm-hmm. It was kind of they're sort of as close as you're going to get to the Alamo Draft House in Vegas, and they'll bring you drinks and food and whatever you want there, and it's a little pricey, but hey, you're in Vegas, that's what you do.
Yeah.
But the film experience itself.
I don't
was
like
good.
The way they had that set up. By the way, I really like the way Alamo Draft House has it set up because there's lights on the front under the table that you have in front of you.
Yeah.
And when you flick your little switch, the light on the bottom lights up. So the only way anybody else in the theater is going to see that is if the people directly in front of you turn around and see the light.
Oh.
With the way this one was set up, it was a bright blue glowing ring, like a Bluetooth device,
yeah.
Right in the middle of the table. And if you wanted a refill on your Diet Pepsi or whatever, you push that down and it glows intently until they come and you know, take your order or do whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't like that placement. That's poor placement.
It is. It's too much. It speaks to your, just the things you hate about movie going.
It really does. I want as much of a distraction free experience as I can. And I'm willing to even do the Alamo Drafthouse thing because of they've got a whole different kind of distraction because they bring you food and drink while the movie's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to forgo that. Or ignore that because of the other benefits you get.
Right.
The other, like, there's no tolerance policy on jerkery and assholery in the theater.
Yeah. And this place may have had that too, but I didn't get the sense because we didn't have, I mean, it wasn't that full. It was kind of a decent amount of people. And it was mostly people we knew.
Exactly.
But I like
one whole half of the theater, like one whole side.
I always like seeing things with my friends. And I will say, and he's not going to hear this because he's too busy. And he hasn't heard the show in a while. But sure. James of Same Sex Mary fame. Mm-hmm. And Svet are sitting next to me in the next seats over.
Right.
That guy is really funny to go see a movie that has laughs in it.
Because,
oh, my gosh, dude, here's how it went. If there was a joke in the movie and it was at all funny, this is what you'd hear out of James. He'd go, like kind of Jeff Goldblumish. A little
I've
Jeff
heard
Goldblum-y.
His laugh before. I know that, so I totally know that laugh.
I loved it. I started to look forward to the jokes because I knew I was going to hear James laugh. I loved it. He is such a. He reminds me. You know what he is? He's like a kid.
He is.
He's like a kid in all the good ways. Like he's a. He's right. got this bright, happy outlook, and he's this positive, like kind of force.
There's no jadedness in James.
No.
Or Svet, for that matter.
Yeah, right? I love that about them. Yeah. They're so great to be around.
Yeah, they live near Vegas. You'd think if anyone would be just like, it'd be those two.
Dude, it happens to the best of them, but they seem to have made it through. But anyway, check out Embrace the Spoilers. Pretty rad stuff. What do we want to say about Vegas? I mean, there was stuff. Do we want to say much? I mean, we had the little show.
Well, one thing I didn't talk about, because it took place after the performance of the bunghouse. Somebody else said bunghouse during this trip, and I thought it was you actually.
Oh, I might have screwed up and said it, but it feels like it's the first time I've heard it, and I love
it's funny, the bunghouse.
Yeah,
anyway, afterwards, and it was a big mistake, but a few people we did the packing up, gotten everything put together, and then Tina and I shared a lift back to the hotel with Todd and TV Zegon, because they had all this equipment, photo equipment and audio equipment to carry back.
Yeah,
and big on Gnomewise, by the way, for his audio streaming work, and I can't wait to see the photos that TV Zegon took, because he was taking photos the whole time. So
those guys are killer, especially Todd. Yeah, he was awesome this trip. By the way, the audio quality on the show I put up yesterday and the stream itself was top-notch awesome. So those guys killed
cool.
it.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. So we're heading back, and TV Zegon says, you want to go get some oxtail soup? Because remember, there's that deal that Mitsula told us about at the California Hotel, where between 11 p.m. and 9 a.m., I think, you can go there and get oxtail soup. It's the only time they serve it. I guess they simmer it all day long. They could simmer it overnight and serve it, the next day during normal people hours. But they simmer it all day long, and then after 11 o'clock you can go there. And there was a line. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. He says, "You want to go get some oxtail soup?"
By the way, can I just make one quick clarification?
Yeah.
Scott assumed this entire time while oxtail soup was being talked about before we went to Vegas and during Vegas, and even a little bit after Vegas until Brian told this story, or before I talked to you that morning, I guess when we had tea before you left. I have been under the assumption, and my wife knew better. She's just never said anything to me.
Right.
Oxtail soup is not an ox's tail in there.
No.
There's no tail of an ox in oxtail soup.
No tail of an ox.
No. It's a bone thing. It's like a bone.
It's still tail. I mean, it's like spine, like cow spine soup or something like that.
Sure.
I guess.
It's like your coccyx or whatever. It's like just a thing.
Exactly.
It's just like a normal bone. Like think of any kind of bone, like beef bone type broth or whatever. It's that sort of idea. Not that there's some furry, nasty.
Oh, no, no, no.
Shit filtering oxtail in there.
Right.
Which is what I had in my head the whole time. So anyway, I don't know.
Right. So it's so you go there and I'm getting ahead of myself. We're on the drive home. Greg's like, "You want to go get some?" I'm like, "Oh man, I'm tired. I really shouldn't." And Tina's like, "No way, I'm not going." And I'm like, "Well, come on, it's just across the street." She's like, "Oh, it's across the street?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "No, still not going." And but you can go. And she says, "Go ahead. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. So it's not like I wanted to go out and do anything after this anyway."
It's like 2:30 in the morning. You said something like
it's
that.
It's about 1:30 in the morning at this point.
Okay, all right.
And we get back to the hotel. TV Zegon takes his stuff back up to the room. I walk Tina back up to our room, and then I come back down to the lobby, and TV Zegon and I head across the street to meet a couple people in Discord who are also going to be in enjoying some soup with us.
Yeah.
And it's Amish Overlord, and Iceworm is there, KT Data.
You know, Iceworm, we call him now
Soft Ears McGillicuddy. Wow, no kidding, right?
Yeah, they talk about put that in some soup. Anyway.
So we go across, get in line, and then there's a line. There's like this long line to get in there. And we're slowly moving forward, probably wait in line for half an hour. They finally seat us, and they come around to take our order, and we're like, "Well, oxtail soup." Iceworm assumes that it's a tiny bowl of oxtail soup, so he also orders a full plate of fried chicken. the bowls they bring us are these massive, like big bowls of soup. It's like when you order a large bowl of soup, this is the size of soup they bring. It's not like a little side soup or anything like that. Big bowl of soup,
yeah.
Big old bones in it. And it's probably something, I mean, it's a pain in the butt to eat. Let's just be honest. It's like a pho broth with all the vegetables and stuff in it, but then these big bones with some meat kind of clinging precariously to the side. And you can either try and be dainty about it and try and pick the meat off with a fork.
Yeah.
But basically all you're going to be doing is pushing the bones around in the broth. You've basically got to pick them up.
All right.
And if you're going to pick them up, you might as well just gnaw the meat off the bones that way.
Sure. And the meat is just beef, right?
It's just beef.
Okay.
It's beef and it's a little bit of fattiness to it, but the fat, you know, it's kind of a good sized fatty combo. Like you're getting some flavor as opposed to it just being a big hunk of fat.
Yeah. I do like the fatty beef. I have to admit, big fan.
Right. And it's, so, I put away the entire bowl. Now at this point it is like 2:30 in the morning,
yeah.
And we're sitting there.
This is so bad.
And we're waiting for them to bring the check. And it's like, I'm like actually dozing off at the table. I'm surprised no one called me out on like my eyes starting to kind of drift a little bit.
Yeah.
But, finally they bring the check and we pay and we get out of there. And it is 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'd been up since 4:00 because on the nights that I'm doing something like the live show at Bunkhouse,
yeah.
I don't sleep well. I wake up and it's like, all right, I'm awake and it's probably not going to happen that I'm going to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
So I'd been up for 23 hours at that point.
Oh.
And my voice was starting to get a little wrecked and I'm just starting to feel like, oh, there's this. The last thing you want to do is have a big salty soup 30 minutes before you're going to be laying horizontally in a bed because it's just going to sit there. And it's exactly what it did for the entirety of Sunday, the entirety of traveling home. And I it was delicious, but I totally regret going and getting oxtail soup.
Well, when you and I were like 22, this is the thing you could do and you wouldn't think twice.
Totally. And I'd bounce back and I'd probably go out after the oxtail soup and do more.
Yeah.
The company was great. You know, going out with those guys was terrific. The soup was delicious.
Yeah.
But
I can't do this stuff anymore. I used to be able to do this. Like what you're describing, yeah. It was a thing I would do. And I see my daughters and my Dylan and Taylor, they do this all the time. It's like Mexican at 3:00 in the morning because they're just, you know, they're in their 20s and they're woo. And for me, I'm like, no, if I do that, nobody's going to want to be around me for the next 3 days. Like I'm going to be the grumpiest, achiest, crappiest piece of crap. So hats off to you and those who took the dare and went and did
That's
it.
Right.
And good job.
Rough day the next day. And another quick shout out, played craps with Stephen Radke and Barry Folk and Evil Rick. Evil Rick had never thrown craps before. Actually played craps for a while with Scott Fletcher too.
Oh, nice.
But this one session with Stephen, Barry and Evil Rick, I'd start out with $200 on the table. Brought $200 to the table. I was down to my last $6 in chips. Evil Rick got the dice and proceeded to not only get me back up to $200, but like surpass it. I left the table with $270.
Wait, this was his first time?
His first time rolling, his first time playing craps. Yeah,
oh my gosh. He was. Well done. He's a natural.
He's a natural. He's like, you know, it's that beginner's luck. And he was just rolling the right numbers, making points. And,
That's great.
It's great. It was such a good time.
I got to spend some real time with Fletcher this trip, and I don't usually get to do that when we have these events. So that was nice. Got to kind of have breakfast with him and chill with him. And I don't know. It was nice. Him and his wife, they're great. And I just feel like we never get any time. And you and I got more time than we usually do, even though we still don't ever get enough time.
No, that's true.
That was a weird sound.
What was that?
I don't know. Something just beeped. Fries are done. I don't know.
Somebody's sending you an airdrop, it sounds like.
It does sound like that.
Yeah.
Is it someone? I don't know. I can't tell what's going on. But anyway, it was a great time. If you haven't heard the show from yesterday, do that. We'll surely be getting feedback on some of the stuff we did, like the dining in the dark and all that. I'm sure there's going to be follow-up, so expect some anecdotal follow-up in the next few days probably as we
do that.
But it was a great time. It was great to see all of you, all you crazy people that came from freaking Europe. And places like that, freaking
UK, yeah. Lots of Canadians.
Yeah, good Lord. That was weird, but it was great to see you all. And Zoe literally brought bacon.
She literally brought bacon.
Yeah. Yep. And that was awesome.
And Jamie brought a bunch of treats from the UK. We're going to be munching on those this week, probably later this week. Yep.
They call them sweets.
Sweets. Mm-hmm. Brought lots of sweets for you to try. Yeah, it's great.
He's a cool guy. Anyway, so I'm sure there's a million things we haven't thought of that we will mention a little bit later in the show. We are going to eat something that looks crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that in kind of our after bit. But now,
yes.
Stay tuned for this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by GBPD, a new class. After several years of procrastination, I finally self-published my first book last fall, an adult crime fiction story titled GBPD, a new class. It's currently on Amazon in both paperback and digital. I'm happy to share this endeavor with everyone and hope that you can get some enjoyment out of it. I had a blast writing it, and I hope it shows. Green Bay, Wisconsin isn't known as a major crime hub, but as the city grows, so do the problems. Follow police cadet Sandy Mason as he makes his way through the trials and tribulations of the police academy and into his new career as a police officer. Though the city is small, the events that Sandy and fellow officers are forced to face are going to shake the foundations of both the community and the department. Find it at chafencreative.com/GBPD. That's S-C-H-A-F-F-E-N creative.com/GBPD.
Yeah, it'll take you straight to the big long Amazon address if you go there.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah,
go check it out. It's just $10. $3.99 on Kindle.
Hell there you deal. Go.
Yeah.
That's some good reading from a fellow tadpooler.
That's right. Always like to hear when our people are making cool stuff. Our people. Who are you calling our people?
Our people.
Brian, there was a tree planted at the White House while you and I were gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice gesture between Donald J. Trump, current president of the United States, and Macron of France.
My favorite kind of cookie.
Yeah, macaroon. the France guy, French man.
Yes.
What's his first name?
Alfonso.
It's not Alfonso. It can't be. Hold on. Where is it? Oh, Emmanuel
Macron, yes.
Yeah, Macron. Anyway, he was here. They were doing a little visit, and they were all chummy, at least at first. Later, Macron. This is why I have a theory about what happened to what we're going to talk about. But anyway, they planted a tree together at the White House.
Yes.
So they went out there, and for the first time,
lots of cameras. Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Click, click,
click.
Yep.
Like that kind of thing. And probably for the first time in the history of ever, I think that's probably the closest Donald Trump's been to a shovel his entire life.
No, you know that there's been so many groundbreakings that he's gone to for all of his hotels and stuff where picks up a shovel, pretends to move a little mound of dirt,
yeah,
and then waves and then walks away.
Yeah, has a little helmet on, one of his little hard hats.
Probably one of the first shovels that he's used to actually dig something that's not for show, like a golden shovel kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, he did this. Seems like a nice, gesture. Put a little life there in the ground and see it grow. The tree was an oak sapling from the site of a pivotal first war battle involving the U.S. Marines. It was a gift presented by the French president as part of his state visit to Washington. The tree came from Bellwood. Can't say that right. northeast of Paris, where 1,811 Americans died in a ferocious battle in June of 1918. So this would have been World War One.
Right.
In a tweet, Macron said, 100 years ago, American soldiers fought in France to defend our freedom. This oak tree, my gift to Donald Trump, will be a reminder to the White House of those ties that bind us. Macron and then Trump got out there. They used the gold golden shovels.
Oh, they did have golden shovels.
They totally did. Well. Totally did. Isn't that great? I know. No comment. Golden shovels. Well, it sounds like a sex move, and I don't want to think about it.
Gave her the golden shovel, if you know what I mean.
That old golden shovel. Brigitte Macron and Melania Trump both watched as this happened. They planted the thing, and some people saw it as of the French trolling Trump over the environmental policies and about withdrawing from the Paris Accord and all that stuff. I don't know, but here's the thing. The French media were first to notice, and then others followed up. The tree's not there.
Right.
It's not planted anymore.
And it's funny, because this article doesn't... There is news that came out yesterday about this.
Oh, did it get updated? What happened?
Yeah. So the tree is in quarantine because it's vegetation that comes from foreign soil.
Yeah.
And so what they, I guess what they decide is, well, let's do this while Macron is here, do the ceremony of the digging and the planting, and then we'll take it out, have it quarantined and checked and all that stuff. And then we'll put it back, which is the plan. They're going to put it back as soon as it comes through quarantine.
Okay.
But rather than make them wait, it's like, here is this gift of this oak tree I bring to you. Ha, ha, ha. Great. Oh, it's a beautiful tree. We're going to stick it in quarantine for about a month. Beautiful tree. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I, you know, quarantine, total disaster, left over from the previous administration.
You did really good. Really good, Trump.
We're going to keep our we're going to make our lawn great again.
Yeah, it's going to be green again. Yeah. Green again.
Green again.
So that's good. That's fine. It's like having fruit from California. You got to be, exactly. Got to be sure.
Got to go through, got to get quarantined for a little bit and it'll be back. Yeah. The tree will be back.
All right, good. Well, what will also probably be back are horrible, horrible rats the size of burritos.
Burritos. Oh my God. Now are we talking the Taco Bell 79 cent bean burrito, or are we talking Chipotle?
I think we're talking Chipotle, like big fat multi-filled smothered style burrito. Now the worst thing about this article, and it bugged me because I made me wonder if it was fake or not, grubstreet.com is where I got it. Chat room, you can see this photo. I mean, that's a rat from, like, what's that from, some movie? Yeah, right there. Life on Montag Street.
Oh, that's one of the rats of unusual size from The Princess Bride.
Oh, is
right?
That Princess Bride? Is it? Okay.
I think that's Princess Bride. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they use that. Let's see. Can we find out if Grub Street's full of crap or not? I can't. I don't want to get sucked into another fake story.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Grub Street.
I mean, it looks like it's a New York, like, culture thing, and I think it's real. I don't know.
Let's see. About us. Here we go. Grub Street.
They live in Brooklyn. That's not... Well, we know the photo's not real, chat room. What we're saying is the...
I think they might have just put that photo with that story, because I'm looking at their About Us, and it's actually part of New York Media, which is like... Vulture magazine,
right?
New York Magazine, which is like a full big old tabloid,
right,
magazine out there. So that's, it's a genuine, I'm saying genuine. They just decided to put a photo with it that, you know, implied.
Well, it says here, it's funny you brought up Chipotle, because the Montag Street Chipotle is partly responsible for this. Rats are gorgeous.
I'm gonna guess Montague, by the way.
Did I keep saying
not
Montag?
That it matters, but yeah.
You're right. It's Montague. Now that I look at it, they've been gorging themselves on Chipotle trash, and nice. I guess they're huge. As a result, they're all over the place. He sees on average 4 or 5 of these rats every day. Has seen with his own eyes the horror of how the vermin dismember their prey. That is the garbage bags. The people are pointing to the burritos. The Chipotle is located next to the construction site. Blames that for the situation. Bottom line is giant burritos make giant rats. So there you go.
It's probably the rice too. I mean, because you remember the deal with why they stopped using rice at weddings, throwing rice at weddings, because the birds would eat it, and then they'd drink water, and the rice would expand, and they'd explode, or they wouldn't explode,
that's right,
but they'd die.
Yeah, that would kill them. Wouldn't it?
So I'm guessing, this is kind of where the, it's probably a lot of the rice, rice is a filler, and it fills your rats.
Yeah, totally. Hey, by the way, speaking of eating, the dining in the dark thing we did, which we describe in detail on yesterday's post on the show, so if you guys haven't heard that, go check it out, but it's inspired us. We're going to do like a blindfold night. Where we blindfold people. We don't have any way in the house to make something perfectly dark.
Pitch black, right. So you're going to blindfold. It's going to be your own dining in the dark experience.
But we'll
do
it to the kids or maybe some neighbor friends or something and see if they can guess what Southern thing Kim's making.
I love it.
Because we loved that. I really liked it. I'm thinking very fondly on it as a thing that we did.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Good.
So I think we're going to do that more. Anyway. hey, man who tried
Instead
to
of taco night, it'll be blindfold night.
Right, which is usually a very different kind of night.
Handcuff night is Thursdays.
Blindfold night is on Monday.
Can't imagine what you're gonna do on sandwich night.
Yeah, no. Ew, gross.
That's a direct line from about last night. Way back. Pulling it back from 1982, Rob Lowe.
Jeez.
And Jim Belushi.
That is old.
Yeah.
Is that a Jim Belushi joint? Yeah, it
that
was.
That was Rob Lowe, Jim Belushi. He's describing. So basically.
He was his doughy wingman in that movie.
He was. Yeah. He's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great movie. Anyway, sorry.
It was, for its time, it feels like one they'd make today. Do you know what I mean? Like, that feels like one of these.
Raunchy, knocked up kind of Judd Apatow.
Sure, Amy Schumer and what's her name in?
They actually did redo it a few years ago. I can't remember who was in it. It was predominantly African American cast, kind of like what they did with that wedding movie from the UK.
Oh right.
And I wanted to see it. Chris Tucker. Yeah, I wanted to see it. I never did. I bet it's got to be streaming somewhere.
Did you hear the burns that are coming out of my mouth?
Exactly.
I don't like Chris Tucker. No, I do actually. I just don't like him in movies.
You just don't like Ruby Rod.
Like Ruby Rod. I don't like him at all.
Yes, about last night, 2014. Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
It's not
Hart.
Like I get those two confused. No. I just knew it was. And it was a comedian.
A comedian. It doesn't. It's nothing about him being a black comedian, everybody.
Exactly.
Brian knows the difference.
Regina Hall.
They don't all look the same.
And it is. Oh, it's streaming on FX now.
Oh, let's get in there and get that subscription going then.
I think I've got it automatically because of DirecTV now.
Yeah, you probably do. I keep hearing I should cancel my HBO Direct subscription and get it through the Amazon app instead because. You don't, because the HBO app sucks.
No way.
Really? Because the HBO
did it again.
What? Oh, are we? My, did I lose you? Are you gone?
This is weird.
And Brian can't hear me. Oh no, it's happening. His big loops he jumped through didn't solve his problem. In fact, meant he put his wiener in front of it.
Right. Well.
So what now? What now?
Next step is after the recording yesterday with Joss and Garrett.
Yeah.
So prior to that, what I did was modem to the router, and then one long line from the router to my computer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did the whole show with Joss and Garrett. No problem. No dropouts. Hour and a half we were on together.
Yeah.
No problems.
Yeah.
And. Talked to Todd. He says, all right, well, now you can kind of put rip the Band-Aid off if you want and plug everything back in the way it was, except keeping that one direct line from the router to your computer.
Yeah.
So tomorrow morning, we're going to go back to I'm the only thing on the network.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm not Zoe. I'm not the common denominator.
No, because I went on my laptop here, or my iPad. I was able to pull up a website. Went to Wikipedia. I was able to pull that up. So Wi-Fi, like everything's still working, except for boop this computer right here.
Yeah. Plus he dropped out on other shows besides this one, just not that one yesterday. So.
Exactly.
So that'll be okay. Well, then it's just fine. This is the pyramid method of troubleshooting is what we're doing.
That's right. That's right.
Eventually, you'll be in the basement of the pyramid, but we started at the top.
And I can't say it's the ISP because again, other devices on the same network still connected to the internet, still going. So it's
weird.
Just this computer, and it's not just streaming. It is like. You know, no connection at all for 20 seconds, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 20 seconds.
Yeah,
actually.
He's not streaming like over Wi-Fi FW Mills. He's doing so. He's just saying that other Wi-Fi devices are connecting.
3 minutes and 11 seconds. Yeah. I'm seeing if there's like, if it's like an exact number. But I imagine you still hear me again.
I do. Yeah. For a bit. And then you freeze and you have a funny face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like the funny face part, to be honest. Guy tried to drown himself and now he's suing the police. That's what that story was. the one I was starting to tell before we lost you. That's all that is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He'd say he was drowning. Police saw him, tried to get him out. He wants to sue them now because he wanted to die. It's a good question, but I really? Feel like maybe that's like an unfriend me question. You know, should a guy be able to jump into a pool and drown himself and not have people in law enforcement try to save him?
Right.
What do you think?
I don't think so. I think that I'm okay with assisted suicide, the Kevorkian variety.
Yeah.
Because you have somebody who's managing the process. It's a controlled situation.
Yeah.
And basically there will be somebody there after you've passed who can help get things resolved and kind of take the next steps. Whereas if you throw yourself into a pool, number one, you haven't let anybody know about your plans.
Nope.
Number two, now somebody has to fish your bloated body out of the pool.
Yep. Yeah, and, no, I agree. You can't just go, what are you going to do? Jump in and the lifeguard goes, oh no. And you go, no, it's okay. I'm in here to kill myself. And the lifeguard's going to go, oh, okay, go ahead. I'll just pull you out.
You didn't bring a glass in the pool, did you?
Yeah.
All right, go for it. You're good.
When's the last time you peed? Why? Well, sometimes your bladder will let loose if you die. And we don't want to have to shock the pool again. Oh, I peed. Okay, it's fine. Like, what is that deal? That's dumb. Of course they're going to save you. And you shouldn't be able to sue. And also, lawfully right now, it's technically not legal for you to commit public suicide.
Yeah, that's not right, exactly.
Final story. World's oldest spider died after 43 years, sorry.
I love the fact that we know the exact age of a spider. Like, were we there for the birth and, like, you know, raising it from a... from a little spiderling to
got all the documentation, had all the shots at age
exactly.
three.
Exactly, it's like I guess it's born in a zoo or something, you know. But
well, it's a 43-year-old female Gaius villosus trapdoor anacrid.
Oh, trapdoor spiders.
Arachnid, sorry.
Yeah.
It has died, according to Australian researchers. The solitary spider who lived in a single burrow for its entire life eventually succumbed to a parasitic wasp attack. Freaking wasps, dude! They were a shitty band, and they're a terrible bug. spider outlived the next unknown. The next one is 28-year-old tarantula from Mexico by some 15 years, which researchers dubbed number 16, The Telegraph reported. Australian arachnologist Barbara York Main, like that name. She monitored the spider population from 1974 until her retirement last year. That's crazy. The entire population. How are you doing that? How are they doing that?
I don't know. I guess you tag them.
I guess
you kind of watch a colony of spiders and you tag them and.
Yeah. It's really weird. Anyway, the wasp came in there and said, F you, and stung him a bunch of times and killed it. So, nature. It's a wicked wicked cycle, man.
Exactly. You can only protect... You gotta protect him only so far until you gotta let him out into the world and experience wasps.
You just gotta let him go. You gotta let him go.
That's right.
All right. Oh. Time for break. When we come back, Making Things with Bill, jury duty, and more. So come on back, everybody. After this, musical break from Brian.
That's right. So we are going to go to L.A. and the L.A. noise rock scene. Now, don't be scared. Don't be scared about hearing something called the L.A. noise rock scene. Okay. This is not just noisy, obnoxious rock. This is really good. And it kind of reminds me of Mazzy Star in a way, and the Breeders and kind of that sound. From the ashes of Echo Park's Tulips rises cosmic punk Talene Kali, who brings you a new kind of fiery floral fuzz from the underbelly of LA's noise rock scene. You might have seen her signature red hair flaming amongst concert crowds in LA, playing an intimate set with a guitar or a full ethereal sonic attack of a four-piece rock outfit. She's opened for Madame Gandhi and Kimya Dawson, as well as been at festivals like Echo Park Rising, Mothership, and the Women F Shit Up Fest.
Yeah, nice.
And right. They actually, it's full, not just the letter F, the whole thing.
Sure.
Say no more.
Yeah.
This is from her brand new album, which is going to be coming out June 22nd. Got a month and a half to gear you up for this one. The album is called Soul Songs. Here is the song Lost and Bound and Talene Kali. We'll be right back.
there's the best chocolate flavor you ever tasted. More Bosco Magic. Cake, ice cream, topped with extra thick, extra chocolatey Bosco syrup.
I'm gonna take a bath. Nothing's gonna stop me.
The Morning Stream.
Woof, 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 woof.
Back, everybody. We're back. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Hey, things might get. I just realized I. Oh, never mind. It's a dumb Skype thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you and I had just a fresh one-on-one call and then I add someone to it, it like freaks out for the first time, but then it never does it again. I need to start doing that before the show with my own phone call or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, there you go. So that you kind of get that.
Yeah.
Get that out of the way. Yes.
Yeah. Because although I can't remember where. I guess we get Bill on Skype today. See, watch. This is going to get all skewampus for a second. Yep. And I probably sound weird. Now my camera's jacked.
Right.
It's just all how it goes. It's fine, though. It's fine, everybody. It's fine. We're going to get right to Mr. Duran in a moment. All we're waiting for now is for me to find his intro. Here it is.
Let the children make it themselves. Can you tell us when you're going to make your move?
Maybe I'll make it with you.
Hey, everybody, make way for Willie.
Make way for Willie, indeed. It's Billy Willie Duran, all the way from Seattle, Washington. Bill, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. Last week, I talked to you. I was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
In between then and now, I've been to New York City. Now I'm back in Seattle.
Oh, so what'd you go to New York for?
I don't know what time it is. I don't know what's going on.
What was up in New York? What's the deal there?
Well, first of all, I'm bummed I didn't get to go to TMS Vegas. Looks like you guys had a good time.
Yeah. Next year. And boy, timing, it would have been perfect for you because that weekend was also a big cosplay festival at the Millennium Fandom Bar where we had our meetup on Friday night. And as we were leaving the bar, all the cosplayers were starting to show up around that time.
Yeah, so. And you would have loved it because that place was full of like rad replicas and... And just the cool stuff.
The bartender is a prop maker, and he's got this huge God of War, glowing God of War sword.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So next year.
I went to the wrong event.
Yeah. That bar is great. Really
that's all
like
we wanted you to admit.
Well, all right. So my friend Alyssa puts on an event every year in New York City called Construct. That's where I was. Mm. I also ate, and I love your shirt there, Brian. Your pizza is beautiful shirt. I ate... a lot of pizza when I was in New York, and it was all
so really good. I'll bet, and I'll bet
that
now you're like, oh man, could I have some more, please? Because that's how I get with New York style pizza. I don't ever get sick of it. I want more.
I was actually in New York a couple weeks prior visiting family. I ate a lot of pizza then. Mm-hmm. I ate a lot of pizza this last weekend, and I think I'm actually good for a while.
Oh,
I think,
all right.
I think it's probably take it easy. Maybe eat a couple vegetables.
Yeah. Get some green in your life. I didn't have a whole lot of green in Vegas either, so I understand.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to this event called Construct. Mm-hmm. They do a lot with... like visual effects, like creature effects, makeup effects. I was there doing some prop and costume making stuff. I did a couple of demos, which was really fun. So, excuse me, I did a molding and casting demo where I made a little prop thing, little panel, like a sci-fi panel thing. Mm-hmm. And I made a silicone mold of it while people were watching, no pressure. And then I cast pieces out of those molds using some resins. And then on a different day, I took those pieces and I did a painting demo, which was also very fun. So I got an airbrush, got some masking tape and paints and stuff, painted and weathered it up. Looked all really cool.
Oh, very cool.
So that was really fun.
Oh, yeah. Here you are. You're on the, I'm looking at their webpage. You got a little Bill and Brittany Duran guest thing, which is really cool.
So a lot of the other people there, though, do... I guess you would call them makeup effects or prosthetics, which is great for me because that's something that I very, very briefly scratched the surface. I don't know very much about that stuff. And they're putting on demos. So I finished my demo and then I go sit in the audience and I watch them do their thing and learn a little bit.
Yeah. You guys painting and weathering with Bill Duran. That looks like fun.
Oh, cool. Yep.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, anybody can make a nice shiny gun, but making it look like it's actually been through through the mill is where it's at.
Yeah.
To make it look realistic.
So the prosthetic stuff is really cool. So like a fake nose or fake ears, or they'll have wounds, like they'll add super realistic looking wounds, all gnarly. They could do whole head transformations. All of these little pieces made out of things like silicone. So for example, this one demo, I think there were silicone prosthetics. They had pre-made wounds, like little wound, little slash, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they would stick it. It was almost like, you know, those water transfer tattoos?
Oh, right.
It's like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But a wound, a water transfer wound.
So that's cool. The edges would, you can kind of have the edges fade out, not fade out, but
yeah.
Yeah.
They would use like alcohol and blend it into the skin. And then they go over that with makeup to blend it all in there. And then they'd add blood and everything. And it was like horrifying. It was very well done. And it was really cool to learn about that stuff. Cause it, again, like I said, I barely even touched that world.
Yeah. I like this this kind of stuff. I was always fascinated as a kid with, like, I don't know, that Fangoria magazine. Because to me, what took the teeth out of horror movies was seeing how stuff was made. And so I would love watching, like, or reading one of those magazines. They have a whole expose on, here's how Pinhead blew that dude up or whatever. And they would show you all the step-by-step stuff. And it put it in such technical terms that it no longer freaked me out.
Yeah.
You know? I love that.
I will say, even though I sat there and watched this woman get the wounds applied to her.
Yeah.
Once it was done, you look away for a minute and you look back and you're just like, oh,
yeah.
She's got a like big smile on her face. She's like, look at my neck. It's
doing well. Yeah, no, that's really cool.
These guys were really, really good. Some of the guys work on Marvel things in New York. So Netflix Marvel stuff. So Daredevil and Punisher. They were saying how like they have specific stuff they do for each character if a scene demands it, but then sometimes they're like, oh, we need some bullet holes on these guys, and he's like digs through his kit and he's got these little like pre-made bullet holes and just stick them on the guys. Yeah, we got a bullet hole on this guy's face. Okay, it goes over and sticks a bullet hole on his face and blends it in and puts some makeup and blood on it.
Yeah,
just like a scene of bodies lying there of actors. And they would just go by and be like, chest, neck, face, just point at him and he'd just stick bullet holes on him.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, those guys had some stories.
Yeah. That's cool that there's a con with that kind of focus. I mean, obviously there was more going on than just that, but I didn't know they'd have one that was all just about, you know, appliances and makeup and that stuff's really cool. Love it.
And they did workshops too. You could sign up for classes, learn about sculpting, learn about molding and casting stuff. It was really great.
Nice. Well, good trip then. Yeah. Well, sweet. Any side recommendations you've got this week? Anybody we should be checking out?
Sure do. In fact, I want to do more of this stuff. So I'm probably going to try and drag some of my friends up to my shop to do some videos on prosthetics, including my friend Frank Ippolito.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a video from Tested, and Frank made Norm some Vulcan ears.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So they got a cast of an ear, of Norm's ear, and then they sculpted Vulcan ears on it using clay, and then they made a mold of that, and then they cast an ear, and then they stuck the ear on Norm's ear, and then they painted it, and it looks like he looks like a Vulcan.
Oh, so wow.
If you look up Vulcan ear prosthetics on YouTube, you'll find it. It's really, really great.
Look at those ears.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I want to skip ahead here so we can... And they're using Spock as an actual... reference point, which is cool.
Right.
Oh, yeah, look at this.
It looks like they're at the Anaheim Convention Center, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might be. Is that WonderCon or something? Or what is this?
I think it was WonderCon, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, look at that. That's a good look for Norm.
It is.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
It's really
that's
cool.
That's really, really cool. Huh. Well, nice. Go check that one out. That's the Tested site or the Tested channel.
Transparency, like you'd see with regular ears when there's light right behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, silicone has that subsurface skin scattering going on. It's really great.
Yeah, that really adds to the realism, I guess. Oh yeah, look at this. Yes. This is really cool. Oh, that's convincing as hell. Look at that.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Frank's pretty good. He's worked on a couple big projects. Like, I know what he's doing.
You know what I'd do if I had these ears? I'd go to a con, and for part of the con, oh, it looks like Frank's a Overwatch fan. He's got a nice Winston shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
If I was at this con, I would be Star Trek guy for part of it, and then for a whole other part, I'd be Elf Man.
Right, so you would just change your outfit.
Yeah.
And keep
the same ears. Yeah. Just be careful taking the shirt off so you don't yank your ears off, but basically you can be two completely different genres without changing your ear makeup. See, look at the brain on Brad here. Pretty good.
Well done, sir.
Well done. It's always good to talk to you, Bill.
All right. And I got to go watch Infinity War.
Yeah, go watch Infinity War because it's fan-freaking-tastic. I was going to see it my second time tonight. It's so good. Let us know what you think. We'll talk to you later. Stay out of trouble. All right. He's out of here. In the nicest possible way.
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to call a guy we just saw.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, you know the one. You've heard of him.
I've heard of him.
You know.
I know who of which you are speaking.
Yeah, you know the stink that he leaves. That's terrible. No, he's he's a good guy. He's got stuff to say. So here's his little opener thing.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Justin Robert Young, who was just with us in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, it was great,
just
man.
In Vegas.
Yeah, it was great.
What? That's it. That's a fact.
Yeah.
No one can dispute it. I dare you.
Yeah, you can't. You doing all right now that you're home? You getting caught up finding all the things you had to do that you still got to do or whatever I mean by that?
I mean, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, as good as Vegas is, it is always second best to the first good night's sleep you get after Vegas.
I agree. I tend to agree.
That is always great. There was the Viva TMS weekend was personified to me by a moment in which all of these amazing rad people are there. We're at the blackjack tables at the plaza. And I'm like, you want to know what? I'm a little bushwhacked. I feel like I'm going to have to wrap this thing up. I'm going to have to be the old man, say goodnight to everybody. So I say my goodbyes, and there's the appropriate, oh, come on. Eh. And I'm like, sorry, man. I'm old as hell. Got up to my room, looked at the clock. 3:45 in the morning. Like,
wow.
I felt like the old codger, you know, like, I got to get my Metamucil. It was 3:45 in the morning.
You got to be patting yourself on the back for doing that. Like, 3:45, no old codgers are staying up that late.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Well, I mean, all these other people apparently were out far later. So, that to me is always these Vegas weekends is when you're like, all right, time to wrap it up. And then you realize that it's about 7 hours later than you normally stay up.
Yeah. Good point. Well, since you've been back, I have zero idea of what we could topically discuss today, except, you know, we all saw Avengers. We all liked it. There's kind of a hard movie to talk about without spoiling it, I think, in some cases. I don't know. It depends on how you look at the story, I suppose. But there's a lot to be said. Like, you know, I feel like the producers lied to me for a very specific reason that I'm actually that I'm actually happy about. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
You think that they lied to you?
Yeah, I know they lied to me. And I'll tell you the lie. I just won't tell you what the... Well, see, how do I do this without spoiling that it's a lie? Well, all right. Okay.
Exactly.
Here's the deal. This is all on the record. So back in the day, they said, when they made their big formal thing, they get up on a stage and go, here's Disney executive Paul Feige, or whatever his name is. And he's going to tell you how the deal's going to go. And then that's when they announced Black Panther. They announced Captain Marvel, all that
Captain
stuff.
Marvel. Mm-hmm.
And part of it was their floor plan for what they had in mind for Avengers moving forward. And they said Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what they were called. And then time went on. And then a little bit last year or so, or I can't remember how long ago, they came out and formally said, yeah, we're not doing that now. It's not two parts anymore. It's just Infinity War and then Avengers 4. And that's how we're going to do this. So sorry. We figured a way out to put the whole thing into the one movie.
Okay. Whoa. everything was said except for that last thing that you said.
All right.
That
I may
have been when you completed it in your head.
Yeah.
Right.
But that was never said. It was always we're shooting two movies back to back with all the same characters. We're right. just calling one of them Infinity War, and we're calling them one of them we can't tell you because of the things that happened in Infinity War.
Right.
Right. Right. And they've actually said why they did that. I found out why they rolled it back is because, and again, not a spoiler here, but we knew about Infinity War back when Age of Ultron came out. Like yeah. we knew the title of the next Avengers film. They'd yeah. already announced Phase 3.
Right.
And they said that it weakened the power that Age of Ultron could have had, which still missed the mark, but weakened the power it could have had because you knew, oh, well, the Avengers will be back in Infinity War. So we know that there's that thing after that. What they didn't want to do was dilute what was going on in Infinity War by telling us the name of the next movie or calling it a part one, part two kind of situation.
Sure. And I get that. I just think it's weird that they said, I mean, not weird. And it worked on me. So this isn't even a complaint, really, because what happened yeah. is it worked. They led me to believe what my impression was from all of that, specific wording aside, from any of the PR, or the press releases or anything, was that they were moving away from this being a follow-up to Infinity War that was basically mm-hmm. like a part two. And it's a part two. I mean, mm-hmm. that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it freaking is. And so well done, Disney Marvel. You freaking got me. Like, you really did get me. And yeah.
So you thought that there was no chance that the two Avengers movies that will be released within a year of each other and were previously called part one and part two.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but I had
settled. No, we're just going to do two totally separate Avengers movies right. that have totally unconnected stories.
We're going to make sure we film them exactly, you know, one right after the other.
Exactly.
You're gonna film them together. Yeah.
I really did have this. I had settled on the idea that it was going to have a break of some sort. It would obviously have repercussions, or, you know, the next movie would have to deal with the aftermath of the previous in the same way that all the Marvel movies in the MCU seem to do, with each other, yeah. and even when they're seemingly unrelated, they have crossover material. So I knew that, and kind of just thought, well, that's what they mean. This will be the big, you know, Infinity War, jam all that gauntlet business in there, and then the next movie would be something else, but would deal with the aftermath. And that was okay, but that's just where my head was at. So when I see it, it really wasn't until the very end of the movie I went, oh my gosh, they freaking got me.
I don't know. We don't have to get into spoilers, but I don't think that you're wrong with how you described, you know, how the two movies are connected.
Right. Right. Like, it is, they're inexorably connected. Like, there isn't, yeah. this isn't just light connection or, oh, okay.
All right, we're going to get into spoilers about the ending, but like, or I'm going to try to not do it. But if we push it much further, we will. All I'll say is that the only thing that invalidates that, or that makes us believe that this is a connected film are things that are beyond the storytelling.
Right.
Like, you know, previously announced movies.
Right, right.
Like, that's the only reason. Other than that, in terms of the story, like, that's a comic book story. And you could build another 10 years based on that.
You could. Yeah, totally. You're right. You absolutely could.
That could be the end of the story.
Yeah.
No problem.
No, I completely agree. That's possible. All right. So now, no more spoilers. I do want to get your take on, we're 10 years into the MCU.
Yeah.
This is the culmination of those 10 years. It's had certainly some downs and plenty of ups, but mostly ups. I mean, it's an incredibly successful thing that they've done. It's an understatement for me to even say that in hushed tones. Do you, on the end of all this, are you happy with how that all is? Like, are we 10 years better than we would have been? Like, you know,
I mean, post Avengers, the first one, I thought it was the most audacious thing that had ever happened in movie history. And prior to that, I thought Lord of the Rings was to commit that amount of money to that kind of source material and have it pay off the way it did and kind of end in Oscar glory. I thought was the most audacious thing in movie history. And then Avengers comes along and they take the B squad of that IP and make it literally bigger than everything else in that field. And then deliver a movie that has like 50 main characters that all get their moment. I think that this is a 3 times a year event where I very much enjoy going to the theaters and watching these films. They're consistently inventive, engrossing. They have characters that you can attach yourself to emotionally. That's everything that I've ever wanted in comic book storytelling, right down to the fact that it never ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously some stuff's going to have to change soon because, you know, some of these guys are out of contract soon or otherwise not wanting to do this forever. You know, Chris Evans has said a number of times how he wants to do more directing and some other personal projects and other stuff. He doesn't want to be Captain America for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. Even though I think he, in terms of his age.
I don't think any of these guys are out of those uniforms forever, by the way.
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, current contracts end with Avengers 4 with Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. Those three, their contracts end with Avengers 4. We'll see what happens if they just sign new ones and say, I want to keep playing this guy until I'm dead.
Or like, look, these guys are made men at Disney.
Yeah.
Right? Like mm-hmm. there's always going to be an ability, and probably they'll be able to make a bigger payday to just make a one movie deal. Right. And to kickstart something else going forward. So and also of those three, like, I'm really not convinced that any of them are gone. Like, I think that mm-hmm. there might be changes to their characters and we might get different directions for where they're going. But I don't know if we can count on a Marvel Cinematic Universe without any of those three characters. And I don't think, to be honest, I don't think Thor's done by any. I mean, like, Thor just made his best movie.
Yeah.
Why would you not want a sequel to Thor Ragnarok when it made that kind of money?
Does feel right. Like Thor has longer legs, and it certainly hasn't slowed Chris Hemsworth down from doing other stuff. Like, he's plenty busy doing other things. People accept him in those other things. I don't think he's typecast as Thor. He's got lots of gas in that engine.
You
want
to know what makes it way easier to do everything else he wants to do? Starring in his multi-million-dollar blockbuster franchise.
Right.
That's way easier to do all your passion projects and get all your directing deals and all of your fancy pants things and be in all your rom-coms. You can get way bigger money and get way more freedom if every year and a half you go ahead and suit up. And specifically when you're in movies that everybody likes, and it seems like everybody has a good time doing.
After watching Ragnarok, go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, Downey Jr.'s been in, I think somebody was saying, like, with the exception of maybe a year, maybe 2 years, he's played Tony Stark in a movie once a year since 2008.
Oh my gosh. That is
because of cameos in Spider-Man Homecoming and Hulk and...
Wouldn't you like to go back to the Weird Science days and in his sort of cocaine addled state,
right?
And just say, Robert,
pull him aside in the back hallways of Saturday Night Live when it was him and Anthony Michael Hall back there, and say,
which one of you is still
working in 2008?
Right.
Maybe crazier than getting 10 years out of all these Marvel characters is the fact that Robert Downey Jr. was a inspired but dangerous casting decision for Tony Stark, and now he is a bigger than Tom Cruise, bigger than almost anybody else in Hollywood, and certainly at his age, like, nobody has more drawing power than Robert Downey Jr. Now, again, most of his drawing power comes when he plays Tony Stark. Mm-hmm.
This is true. No, you're absolutely right. I have two quick things that are Marvel related. Nothing to do with this movie, everybody, so calm yourselves down. There's all this nervousness in the chat room about spoilers. We didn't give a single spoiler today.
I'll tell you what, real quick, I had a conversation. I don't think this is proprietary, but I had our friend C. Robert Cargill, writer of Doctor Strange, and I were talking, and I kept saying, like, all right, what is the Marvel movie that makes Star Wars money? Like, what is, like, can Marvel stack something up and make, like, at the upper echelon of all movies that come out? Like, because I thought Guardians 2 had the opportunity to be that, but that was a little bit more of a downer, slower movie compared to the first one.
I go again.
Son of a...
Oh, Brian, don't worry. Brian's, he lost his internet. Keep going.
So then you have Black Panther that comes out of nowhere and just like totally crushes everything. But as it turns out, Infinity War, the tracking makes above what Force Awakens made, which, by the way, in case you hadn't been keeping up, is the most profitable domestic movie in history.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see where it holds. But what's shocking to me is that the Russo brothers have made big team-up movies that have, by and large, had similar endings that aren't necessarily crowd-pleasers.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that that hurt the box office for Civil War.
Yeah.
But it seems to be a positive for...
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I've not felt... usually when I see a movie in the theater, even if it's a big nerd deal and I'm super stoked about it, I'm usually good for the one viewing and then later on video or something. It's once in a while a movie will come along and I'll be compelled to see it twice or more in the theater because it's just that compelling for whatever reason. This is the first time I've felt that way in a while. I want to see this again in the theater. In fact, I'm going to tonight. And it's weird, right? Like that feeling of... I'm not done here. I need to see it again. Yeah. And I look forward to it maybe even more than I did the first time. I think that feeling bodes well for that movie to do really well. But here's the question. Last night we're watching Thor Ragnarok because Nick hadn't seen it. And so it's catching him up. And like Brian and I were saying at the top of the show, that's kind of your jump off point for Infinity War anywhere. It's the last movie and last story bit that happens right before all the stuff goes down in Infinity War. So we did, and we'd all seen it, so we were watching it again. It was great, having a great laugh. Everything's fun. I saw some things I missed last time, blah, blah, blah. Two things that came away from that. Number one, it's a rad movie. It's awesome. Everything's great. Two, I think I figured out why one of the aspects that I really like about it that I could never quite put my finger on the first couple times I saw it, and that is that I feel like it's, weirdly, it feels like it's set in the Fifth Element universe. And next time you watch it, just kind of remember that I said that, everyone listening, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, because watching that, I got this total vibe the entire time of the Fifth Element, and I mean like the world and the weird characters and the kind of the bright colors of the city, especially in the Junker place they're at, the whole thing with the gladiator stuff, all those ships.
There's like a 70s mixed with Art Deco kind of combo that they've figured out for both Thor Ragnarok and the Guardians movies that they've kind of merged into that, and I think it works perfectly.
The funny thing is I kind of also noticed some of that architecture, although differently decorated, for Black Panther, which I thought was like a cool punch.
Oh yeah, sure, the Wakandan stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
How forward Wakanda is that they bear this kind of passing resemblance to these far off planets.
Yeah, it's fun watching them take those kinds of visual risks. So that was what I came away with from there. Then here's the other question. This one's slightly controversial.
Okay.
At least according to some, there is a scene in the trailer for Avengers Infinity War. Wait, Infinity War? Yeah. Something was sounding wrong with that as I was saying it. Where it shows pretty much every hero you ever heard of chasing, running. It's an actual shot. It's in slow motion, and they're running in the trailer toward the camera.
I know what you're going to say, yeah.
In that camera.
A little bit of a fake out there.
Yeah, in that shot, there's in one particular case, there's a character that shouldn't be there the way that they're there.
Right.
And because in the movie, it's different. So I put on Twitter, herein lies the controversy. Trailers all the time show stuff that you end up not getting, or it's different, or what. None of that is an issue here. I get that that's what happens in trailers. I posted that screenshot and just said, this didn't happen. That's all I wrote.
Yeah.
And I got people so fired up with the whole spoiler culture nightmare scenario there that I had apparently presented them. This was the ultimate gone over the line spoiler moment that I could have done. I don't understand how. It's a still image from a thing that is already out there and you've seen before. You've all seen the damn trailer shot. And it's not even moving. It's not video. And I didn't say what was different. I just said this is different. This is not what happened. So why is that
and it's,
spoiling?
And it's only... Nobody would know what you're talking about unless they'd seen the film. So I think the people who are like, oh, spoilers, blah, 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 probably were people who saw it were like, you know, thinking, oh, yeah, I know what's different about that. But people who look at that who haven't seen the film look at that and say, I have no idea how what could be. I mean, there's a thousand things that could
be
different.
So if they're spoilers, then they're all in their own heads then. It's all stuff they're making up and there's nothing there. That's not a spoiler. That's your imagination.
Right, well, exactly. I mean, also, it's like, what's weird about that is you have to have seen the movie to yell at you.
That's what I'm saying, right? You don't know that it's a spoiler unless you've seen the film.
Yeah, you have to have seen it. So it's like, all right, nobody who hasn't seen it is yelling at you and saying that's a spoiler because they don't even know the context. I mean, maybe there is no scene where they all run up toward the camera.
Yeah,
which I think that shot is in the movie.
Oh, totally,
right?
Totally
now
in the movie.
Now, what I'm doing is a spoiler.
Right.
Shame.
Oh, that's funny. You're right.
But what you did would not be.
Right. That's my contention. So, but what I realize is an opportunity. Okay, turning a fiery Twitter exchange into an opportunity. We should do an Unfriend Me episode on whether spoilers are, you know, that whole thing, the whole spoiler fight. We should have that. On that show. Sometime.
Oh yeah, no, we can put that on. In fact, I was thinking now. I mean, we have all of our research and everything ready for our Unfriend Me episode today on the Electoral College. But I'm almost curious whether or not we want to call an audible and just go full Infinity War call in like we did for The Last Jedi.
Oh my gosh, wow. We could totally do that. I'd be all right with that. Chat, maybe the chat room. A lot of them will be there. What do you guys think? Let's get your hot take. In real time here, while we wait for them to do that. So, chat room's like, oof, Electoral College. Anyway.
I mean, yeah, because I will tell you this. The Electoral College will be, I think we all know what the kind of arguments, although there's fun history stuff there. And there's also the way that the Electoral College is decided or how many electors there are that I was unaware of. I guess I've skipped that lesson in civics, but... so there's fun stuff, but I do think that you know, considering that we did a spoiler, we went back to our spoiler show roots for The Last Jedi. Maybe it is we're due for one of them call-in shows for Infinity War.
Pretty predominantly, yes. Some people are saying, well, if there are spoilers, maybe not. But then that's the whole point is spoilers. So yes, a spoiler episode of Infinity War. I think that might be on the table. I would really like to do that.
All right. All right. Officially, the audible is called, and also that means I don't have to do research next week.
This is great. This is a win-win across the board, everybody.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. Justin, any final thoughts or feelings or things you'd like to say before we exit the building?
Yeah. So, of course, if you want to get on to my free political newsletter, you can just go to freepoliticalnewsletter.com 5 days a week. Really quick links that will make you smarter and some hot takes that you can steal and seem smart, if not sarcastically contrarian when you are talking to your friends and family throughout the day. Again, that is freepoliticalnewsletter.com. And also, but and really most importantly, I want to thank everybody who came out to Vegas this weekend.
Yeah.
It is always just, you know, as much as I think that I'm kind of prepared for it, it is always just such an outpouring of love and an outpouring of drinks into my face. Thank you to the million people who offered and successfully bought me drinks throughout the weekend, because that was definitely a thing. That led to me being tremendously overserved on Friday night. But it was a blast. And I had a great, great, great time with all of you. And thank you to the two of you guys for putting it on, because it is always such a great community that kind of gathers and not only of this show, but this show has kind of become a gathering place for so many other communities and shows and everything. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, yeah, the feeling's mutual. It was great having you there. And now that you love Beaver officially, we hope for nothing but the best for you. Okay, bye. Okay, hung up on him.
Wow.
I got him. He's been trying to beat me. It's a little bit of a contest now, and he didn't see that coming. He was getting all sappy.
You can unhook me.
You can remove me from the call. it's another thing you guys want to check out yesterday's episode for, because Brian did a pretty snappy impression of Justin on stage.
And oh. Yeah,
pretty good.
That was fun. I think that's another reason my throat is wrecked too. Is my impersonation of Jury is taxing on the throat.
Yeah, it'll tear you up. You got to be careful. That's gonna do it for the show. Except we have some things. All right. So Jamie, the mashup guy, has been very busy with stuff while we were gone, and thankfully that means that you are all going to be regaled with a quick mashup here today. It comprises episodes 1469 through 1472. It is called Snope of His Time. Don't know what that means, but here it is.
I don't either.
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
Zuckerberger. What's our... I played a couple of indie titles that tweaked my bean. I do pig anus because they clean those.
Yeah, I would do pig anus.
It's like a tough piece of pork that looks a little like a bung hole.
Chewy pig rectum.
Watch my sausage get made.
How about a whole deck of sausages?
That's all right. We get to a certain level, I'll make sausage decks. Sure, why not?
I'm going to play the five of brats.
The seven of garbled.
Did I garble?
Garble. Yeah.
Who wants an ass? Now, F off, double bird.
Hey, try.
Yep, and it all started thanks to Wild Bill Clinton scandalizing these youths with his penis.
You're a glutton, Mr. Trump.
Yeah. So
you're fattening up Scott Johnson like a Christmas ham.
Brian has a scab on his penis.
I'll fight back, butt naked.
With a stupid little paperclip stuck in its butthole, not connected to a Benicio del Toro movie at all.
Wait, Benicio del Toro? Oh, you mean Guillermo del Toro.
Or Guillermo del Toro, whatever.
That's fine.
One of the del Toro family.
They all know each other. They're related. It's fine.
Or del Taco, whatever. I don't care.
Benicio del Taco.
I had a bout of the shits.
Oh no, I've had a bout of the shits. Philip, wipe me arse. All right, Philip, bring your ukulele. All right, we're going to do Toto's Africa.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I.
So do I. Philip, you dumbass, Philip.
It was kind of the Snope moment, right? He was the Snope of his time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Snoke,
you mean.
Snope.
What'd you say, Snope?
Snope. I ain't telling what I said. Snope. Not even coming.
Snope?
Snope, not telling you. Snope.
Snoke. He meant Snope.
Snope.
Okay.
I love this. Someone needs to go to this episode and pull that all out and do something with it. I don't know what.
Well, ask and you shall receive. He did. He did exactly that.
Did exactly that. Thank you, Jamie, for that. TMS Mashups on Twitter if you want to follow his goings-on. All right. Food. We're really cramming a lot in today because we got ketchup going on, you know?
That's right. Ketchup? We're doing Rice Krispie Treats.
Oh, that's right. It's not ketchup. Ooh, gross. So here's the theme.
You should try Space Food Sticks.
Yes, we should. Here's the deal. From
Shut you.
This is from Rainbow Bright in the chat today.
That's right.
AKA Desiree. These are
she threatened that she was gonna send us something delicious, and boy did she.
Oh my gosh, dude. I have had a hard time just not doing this early. These are look so good.
Good.
So these are let me read this here. It says the crispy cakes, marshmallow rice treats, popcorn crunch. Now you might say, oh, this is Rice Krispie Treats, Scott. Look at these. This one is popcorn crunch. So it's got popcorn.
Look at how big that thing is. It's like massive.
Oh, we're all going to die. We're going to die.
Yeah, that's all right.
Then there's marshmallow.
Oh, look at the Oreo. Well, the cookies and cream has an actual Oreo on the bottom.
And in the middle, if you look in the center anyway.
I should have brought a knife down to like slice off a slice. So I'm just going to basically take a bite.
Now this s'more one looks great because it looks toasted on top. And it's got chocolate in the middle. But look at that. Oh, my gosh, dude.
Nice.
And then the final one. Let's see, what's this? Cocoa Concoction. Mm-hmm. A Cocoa Connection. That looks like a bunch of cocoa and concocted concoction there. Yeah. So what we're going to do.
Which one do you want to do? Do you want to do that one or which one do you want to do?
I don't know if I have a preference. Do you have a preference? What do you like here? Do you have anything
Let's
jump
do Cocoa
out?
Concoction now that I've pulled that one out of the box.
All right.
Because I'm looking at the bottom of it. Do all of them have that kind of cakey looking bottom?
No. That's the only one. Well, I mean, they all have it. They just like this one's toasted. Yeah. This one's got a cookie on it.
Right. This the other one's popcorn-y.
Popcorn,
right.
Yeah. These seem just decadent as hell. Like, this isn't going to help my weight loss. But.
And she even, like, says, don't consume the whole damn thing in one bite.
Yes. And like, the letter we got said, be careful with that. So we are going
share
to...
share them with your family and just have a small bite. Just, you know, try it.
Look at this. I'm trying to see what it has. Total fat. I shouldn't
maybe,
look at that.
Maybe don't look at that either.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that. Never read the ingredients. Okay, here we go. Let's just take a corner off this thing is what I'm going to do. Here we go.
Yep, that's what I'm doing too.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Figure out a way to peel a corner off of this thing.
Holy Zeus.
Stuck to the label.
That's so good. Yeah, I couldn't eat all that. I would die.
All right. I want to make sure I got some with some of the middle in it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good. I'll bet they're all good. We'll try another one soon. Oh, that's really rich.
Oh, and I will bring down a knife and cut a slice off of the next one we eat. We have four different ones to try, so maybe we just wrap up the whole week with those.
Let me do a quick, let's see. I'm going to do a quick blood test. Hold on a second.
Diabetes.
All right, that's trouble. it was only one bite. Imagine if I ate the whole thing.
Oh, exactly.
Well done. Thank you for that. It was awesome, Desiree. And give everyone in the chat, give Brain Bow Bright a big hug from us, virtually, I suppose, is how that works.
Big virtual hug.
Don't forget, you can vote in the chat room right now as to today's title, and check them out and vote for them at frogpants.showbot.tv. That's frogpants.showbot.tv. And I see we already have many suggestions. Get your votes in. We will pick it at the during the post show and go with everyone's favorite title or something close to it. I think that's it. We are at frogpants.com/TMS. And if you want to support the show, you can over at patreon.com/TMS. It's a great way to let the show continue to thrive and survive and do rad stuff. We also have some interesting ideas for next year's TMS gathering. So stay tuned for that. Brian and I talked a bit about that while we were there. And if you want to email us,
so many ideas.
And they are so... Oh, the potential for the one idea is really good. We gotta dig around on that one, but I feel really good about it. Anyway, themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. You can find the website. I already said the website, frogpants.com/TMS. And as always, find us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. That's going to do it for us. Brian, let's have our first song since coming back. Do you have something for me there?
Oh, I do, totally. And this one is going out to Keaton. Who says, hello, TMS crew. I'll keep it short. I turned 25 on the 1st of May. 1st of May. and would love to hear a cover to celebrate. Any rap hip hop song would be great because I don't think I've ever heard a rap or hip hop cover. Barring that, a cover of a rap or hip hop song in another style would be fine too. Love everything you both do. Keep up the great work. My head is like a shark fin, though. Signed, Keaton.
Aw. Let's see if you have any shark files. Nope, I don't. I checked.
No shark files.
Yeah.
So it's really tough to find rap or hip hop covers of other songs that that aren't in that genre, because to basically take a pop song and then basically sing the lyrics as rap would kind of go back to kind of that old style rap of trying to think of an example.
Oh, like in the chicken tastes like wood. Is that
right? Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Instead of kind of the newer freeform way that rap is done today, like, you know,
it was all very
we're
good.
We're no strangers to love.
Yep.
But you know the rules, and so do I.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
totally. Sort of it's totally that rhythm of so Run DMC, early stuff.
Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But this one probably comes the closest out of anything I've got, and it's not purely a rap hip hop thing. It's kind of like a hip hop reggae, which probably makes it pretty squarely in the middle of dub, but you guys can tell me. The band is called Playgroup, comes from an album of the same name that came out in 2002. It's a cover of the song by Paul Simon, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Oh, all right, here it is, everybody. We will see you on the flip side tomorrow. That's right, Normal Wednesday. Come on back now, you hear?
The problem's all inside your head, she said to me. The answer's easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. It must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Leave your lover, dog.
She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself.
Say it again, say it again.
At the risk of sounding crude, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover. Slip out the back, jack.
Bounce.
Make a new plan, stand.
Scram.
Don't need a decoy, Roy. Just set yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee. And set yourself free. Play cool. She said it grieves me so to see you in such pain.
Pain
I wish there was something that I could do. To see you smile again. I said, thank you, baby. I really appreciate that, you know. But will you just please explain? There must be 50 ways. Options like a mother. She said, why don't we both just sleep on it tonight? And I believe in the morning, you'll begin to see the light. And then she kissed me. And I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover.
Yo, sing again, dog. Come on.
50 ways to leave your lover.
Bring the hook,
just
girl.
Slip out the back, jack.
Bounce.
Make a new plan, stand.
Scream.
You don't need a decoy, Roy. Just set yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Windiggy.
There's only one ear. Weird.
Only one ear of Windiggy.
Windiggy.